Krishna Prasad Gurudev, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane, Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pracharane, Naravishesha Shanyavari Pashtatya Desha Tarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivadvaita Gadadhar Shvasti Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Verse 78. Sri Sukha Uvacha, Iti Devarshina Proktam, Nishamya Bharatarshabha, Pujayam Asa Supritaha, Krishnam cha prema vivalaha. Sri Sukhavacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, Devarshina, by the great Saint Narada, Proktam, described, Nishamya, hearing, Bharata Shabha, best of the descendants in Bharata, Pujayamasa, worshipped, Suprita, being extremely pleased. Krishnam, unto Krishna, cha, also, prema vivalaha, in the ecstasy of love of Krishna. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharat dynasty, thus learned everything from the description of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart and in great ecstasy, love and affection. He worshipped Lord Krishna. Report, it is natural that when someone belonging to one's family circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic and love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna, who was already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally the Pandavas were amazed, thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly their ecstasy was extraordinary. Text 79, Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. Report, after hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhisthira, if one still has any doubts about Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Samsayam Samragam. Without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this even after hearing all the Vedas, but if one is fortunate, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Text 80, on all the planets within the universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them and their different dynasties. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 15th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. End of the 7th canto. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharat dynasty, thus learned everything from the description of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart and a great ecstasy, love, and affection. He worshipped Lord Krishna. So this whole section was because of the questions of Yudhisthira to Narada Muni. Now the main topic of this whole canto, seventh canto, is the story of Prahlad and Narsimhadev. But after that story was told, then of course this reason the story was told because Yudhisthira was asking Narada Muni about Jai and Vijay and how they took birth as Hiranyakasipu, etc. So in relation to that, we have the whole story of Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu. And then after that, we have this whole description of the Varnashram system in this chapter. And finally, after that, we have this conclusion here. After hearing everything, the conclusion is what Yudhisthira did. And what did he do? He worshipped Krishna. So that's the conclusion of everything. Of course, he heard the stories of Jai and Vijay and Prahlad and Narsimhadev, etc. He also heard this whole discussion about the Varnashram system, etc. But the conclusion is ultimately Krishna, as we find from the last few verses where Narada Muni is indicating that the final goal of everything is simply worship Krishna. So this is the goal that Maharaj Yudhisthira has understood. And why? Is because with Krishna there is extraordinary display of pastimes and intimacy that is not available with anyone else. And therefore Narada Muni was glorifying Yudhisthira and his brothers because Krishna would come to his house and visit him as a friend. So, in this way, he pointed out the not only the wonderful nature of Krishna, but also the great status of his devotees. So here we have the conclusion. Yudhisthira has a realization, just as in the Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna gives his instructions to Arjuna, and then what was Arjuna's realization? His realization was to follow the orders of Krishna only. So in this way, Maharaj Yudhisthira understood what the essence of all of this was. And what was it? Worship Krishna. Now, of course, we have this whole story in this canto of Narsimhadev. And therefore, some people become worshippers of Narsimha, because he's also a Purna avatar of the Supreme Lord, showing great powers. But after hearing the whole story, here Maharaj is worshipping Krishna. Even he's heard about Narsimhadev's pastimes. So the understanding here is that Krishna is the complete manifestation of all wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. And with him one can have the most wonderful relationships. And therefore, he is the object of worship. So that was the whole intention of Narada Muni. But of course, we have, in this whole process of the Bhagavatam, description of many of the avatars. Because that was one of the questions asked by the sages at Naimisaranya to Suta Goswami, please describe all the different avatars of the Supreme Lord. And even when that was done, then Suta concluded, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So, yes, all the avatars are given at the request of the sages. And of course, also because the Puranas in general tell the history of all the different avatars and all the Manus and all the great kings. They give a history of the universe from the beginning of the birth of Brahma. So they will tell all these things as Puranas. But the uniqueness of this Purana, though it is like other Puranas in having 10 different topics, like the other Puranas, it is unique in that the subject matter is all dedicated to Krishna. So the 10th topic of the Puranas is Asraya, which literally means the shelter. So it can mean Supreme Lord, because he's the shelter of everything. It can mean Vishnu. He's the shelter of all the material universes and all the jivas, etc. He is the master of Vaikuntha. So in that sense, Vishnu Purana also covers the same subject matter. Vishnu is the Asraya there. But in Bhagavatam, Krishna is the Asraya. Now they're non-different, as Rupa Goswami points out in the Nectar Devotion. Siddhanta tas abheda, non-different by Siddhanta. In other words, they are both theologically the same. There's only one God. So there's no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. But then the difference is in the wonderful, attractive qualities of Krishna and the rasa, the additional attractiveness of Krishna and his rasa. That is the difference. So, therefore, the asraya of the Bhagavatam is Krishna on the advice of Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. Narada Muni indicated that Vyasadeva should write only about Krishna as supreme and the object of worship for everyone in Kali Yuga. Why? Because he's most attractive. And people of Kali Yuga are most fallen. So therefore, we should worship Krishna. And therefore, to show that, in the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami has recited all of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, which illustrate his wonderful qualities, wonderful form, to show the attractive nature of Krishna. But then we have the other 10 topics, or the other 9 topics. We have the Asraya, which is Krishna, and then we have Sarga, Visarga, Stiti, Poshana, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanakata, Mukti, Narod, all these other topics are there. So they have to be discussed as Puranic topics. But the purpose of those topics is to bring it back to Krishna again. So that we see here. The whole story of the avatar of Narasimha was told, but now it comes back to Krishna again. What did you just hear after hearing the story of Narasimha? He worships Krishna. That Krishna is the final form of the Lord. That was his understanding, in spite of the fact we have Narasimha, Dev, and Ramchandra, and so many other forms. We have Krishna as the object of worship. So in other words, all of the 9 topics ultimately are also related to Krishna. So, just as in the first canto, all the different avatars are recited, and then it says Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, but Krishna is the final form. So even there, Sudha Goswami does the same thing and indicates Krishna. And we have all these different topics like Sarga and Visarga and whatever. Similarly, they lead back to Krishna. Now, of course, we know that Brahma's Visarga creation. He's the creator of the secondary bodies of the jivas and the planetary systems, etc. But how does that lead to Krishna? Krishna got his where did Brahma get his instructions from? He heard the word tapa and do meditation. Then he got his powers to produce the universe. Normally people think, well, Vishnu was the one because he came out of Vishnu's navel, etc., whatever. But Acharya say, no, it's Krishna. Krishna gave them instructions. He saw Krishna. And that we see in the Brahma Samhita also. So this whole relation in the third canto of how he heard the Supreme Lord, actually, it is said it is Krishna, it is not Vishnu. Ultimately, Krishna is the inspirer of Brahma. And then we have Sarga. That means Mahavishnu glances over Prakriti and injects the jivas into Prakriti. And then we have Mahatattva and Ahankara and all the material elements forming. That's called Sarga. So then we have a glorification of Vishnu there. It's not Krishna that does it, it's Vishnu that does it. He is one of the Paramatma forms that carries out the creation of the material world along with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. Yes. So how is that related to Krishna? We see at the very end of the Bhagavatam, there is a story of how there was a Brahmana in Dwarka. And as soon as his children were born, they disappeared. And they kept disappearing. And he kept complaining that this city is useless, the kshatriyas are useless, they cannot protect me. All my children have disappeared. And then Arjuna finally heard, oh, I will protect the next child that comes out. And if I don't, then I will kill myself. And so he waited, and the child was born, and he tried to protect the child, and it disappeared. And he looked all over to get the child back, and he couldn't find it. He went all over the universe looking for this child. Couldn't find it anywhere. He went to Yamaloka even, couldn't find the child. And then he gave up. And the Brahmin criticized, see, he's useless. No one can protect my children. There's no kshatriya here at all. So then he was about to kill himself. And then Krishna said, no, I know where the child is. So he took Arjuna on his chariot, and they went over the seven Saptadvipas and the seven oceans, etc. They came to the, what is it, the big wall there, the big dark wall, Lokoloka mountain range. And beyond that, there's no light. The sun is higher than the sun, so no light goes beyond that. They went beyond that into the darkness using the Sudarshan Chakra, and they went through the layers of the universe. They got outside the layers of the universe, and they came to the causal ocean. And there they saw Mahavishnu. And then Mahavishnu greeted them. And but then he said, yes, I have the sons of the Brahmana. And I've taken the sons simply because I wanted to see you. So they got the sons and they went back. And then Arjuna thought, well, why did he do all of this? Why did he offend the Brahmanas? Because Vishnu, of course, is respectful to the Brahmanas. And why would he harass the Brahmana like this so much just to see Krishna? Why can't he just come to Dwarka? Eh? We see Sudama went to Dwarka. We see there are flower sellers and so many people, betel nut sellers, so many people in Dwarka, and they can see Krishna all the time. But he had to go through this whole elaborate plan of stealing the Brahmana's children and causing great disturbance to the Brahmana, even in spite of the fact that it was sinful to do so, in order to see Krishna. And then he understood he cannot see Krishna. He's not qualified to see Krishna. He cannot go to Dwarka. Huh? He is the creator of all the universes and everything. But he cannot go to Dwarka. He's not qualified to go to Dwarka even. So he had to have Krishna, by his will, make his appearance in this way. Yeah, so in this way, Arjuna understood that Krishna is superior to Vishnu. Not that he is a byproduct of Vishnu, but rather he is superior to Vishnu. That is Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is the manifester of the material world, Sarga, but Krishna is superior to that. He is the origin of Mahavishnu and all other forms. So similarly, in the story of the where Brahma saw the that Krishna was all the expansion of the cowherd boys and all the calves as Vishnu forms. He didn't manifest Krishna forms, but Vishnu forms. And the Vishnu forms were creators of universes. But then all the Vishnu forms disappeared and only Krishna was standing there. So Krishna is the controller of millions of Vishnu forms who create millions of universes. So then Brahma also understood, Krishna is the source of all the Vishnu forms and all the universes. It is not Mahavishnu. Krishna is the source of everything. And therefore, Brahma in his prayers said that actually you are the shelter of everything. You are the real Narayana, shelter of all the jivas, ultimately. So therefore, in Sarga, Visarga, Stiti, all of this, then Krishna is the ultimate goal of all of this. So, therefore, all these different topics are in the Bhagavatam, but they lead back to Krishna. So here we see the whole Varnashram system was described, parts of what did not look so devotional, having to do with, especially with the sannyas part, renunciation and impersonal, whatever. But then at the end of that whole conclusion, they said, actually, all of this depends on worship of the Supreme Lord, ultimately, to get the goals of all these different things. And then we have the conclusion here of Maharaj Yudhisthira, not that he should perform Varnashram duties, rather he should worship Krishna. So, of course, necessarily within the Varnashram system, there is worship of Krishna, but it is a secondary factor. Just as we see many of the great kings they establish Varnashram system and they act accordingly. They're also worshippers of the Supreme Lord. So we have a person like King Nriga. Nriga was a great king and he was very fond of giving cows and charity and everything. He was also a devotee of sorts of Krishna, in a sense. But more than that, he liked to give cows. Because this was part of the scriptural, following Dharma, respecting Brahmanas, etc. So he got very involved in that. And he made a mistake because he had given one cow and the cow to a Brahmana. The cow wandered away and came back to his flock. Then he gave that to another Brahmana. So then the first Brahmana said, "That's my cow." And the Brahmana says, "Other Brahmana says, no, it's my cow." And they went to the king, and the king said, "Well, look, give the cow back, and I'll give you another cow." And the second Brahmana said, "No, I want that cow. I only want that cow. I can't have that." So ultimately they argued, and they were very upset with the king, both of them. Why did you give the cow to that Brahmana? And why did you give the cow that was already given to that Brahmana to me? And they both refused to give up the cow, and they got angry at the king. As a result, the king became a lizard. So there was no help from the Supreme Lord at all there, because whatever bhakti was there was small compared to his predominance of his other things. So yes, in the Varnashram system, they have some bhakti. Because of that little bhakti, therefore later on, Krishna had mercy on him and rescued him as a lizard. And after that, he got a devata body or whatever. But the bhakti was not prominent. So therefore, all of this caused a big problem for him, and he had to become a lizard. So therefore, that system is actually different, distinct from bhakti. It is not equal to bhakti. It is very distinct from bhakti. It is separate from bhakti. Part of karma yoga. And therefore, it's given a different name. We have karma yoga, gyan yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga. A little bhakti in all of them, but prominence is something else, and the goal is something else. So therefore, they are distinguished. After that whole description, now Maharaj Yudhisthira is coming to the conclusion. So the conclusion of Maharaj Yudhisthira is not to follow that system, but to worship Krishna. He doesn't mention anything about all the teachings that were taught in the whole chapter. Whole chapter, 80 verses are here in the chapter. Most of it is all in Varnashram system. And the conclusion, he doesn't even mention most of those verses at all. Just worship Krishna. That's the final conclusion. So this actually is the very strong principle that is emphasized in the Bhagavatam and by our acharyas, that bhakti is independent of all other processes, all other yogas. It doesn't depend on anything. And it must always be the prominent process. And that bhakti has to be for Krishna and Krishna alone. And that is the conclusion of Yudhisthira. Let me worship Krishna. Very simple conclusion. Not even anyone else, just Krishna. So the process is bhakti. So though Bhagavatam and other scriptures, they present many things, because Bhagavatam is complete, like the Supreme Lord, it displays everything. So it displays Varnashram and Karma Yoga, it displays Jnana and Astanga Yoga, as well as bhakti. It has many faces, so to speak. If somehow you are attracted to different things, then you will become attracted to these things in the Bhagavatam. So if you're attracted to Varnashram, you'll be attracted to this, and you'll study all of this Varnashram stuff in the Bhagavatam. So see, Bhagavatam is all about Varnashram. But we should understand that yes, Krishna is everything. He is the producer of the Varnashram system. He is the producer of Jnana. He is the producer of Yoga and everything. They're all there in the Bhagavatam. But the conclusion is something else, as we see here. Maharaj Yudhisthira simply worshipped Krishna. That's all. Only the process of bhakti ultimately is there. How is it different? It is direct worship of the Lord. These are the principles. Now, what are the principles in other yogas, in Varnashram system? What are the main principles? Follow the rules of Varna. Follow the rules of Ashrama. So what are those rules? Of course, different ashramas have different rules. All different sorts of rules. Not exactly related to Krishna at all. A Varna is related to what? Maintaining your body. How to work. It's your profession. And what is ashrama? Technically, of course, it is for spiritual elevation, to give you the sense of dharma and then lead you to moksha, but then actually only the Brahmins get to the moksha part. Also limited in it, it's even its spiritual scope, getting up to moksha. And jnana, that's the moksha part. Artha Dharma Kama is the Karma Yoga part. Moksha is Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga. But we know that is incomplete. Here, what is Yudhisthira doing? His goal is prema, not moksha. Moksha was mentioned, liberation was mentioned so much in this whole story of Varnashram system. Artha Dharma Kama and then moksha. But here, Maharaj Yudhisthira is not interested in moksha at all. He's interested in prema, expressing his love for the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it is completely distinct from these other processes, and the goal is also very distinct. So this is the whole purpose of Bhagavatam, and presented very nicely by the actions of Yudhisthira in understanding the words of Narada Muni. Of course, Narada Muni also, what is he? He is a Shaktivesh avatar in charge of bhakti. So he's not going to present all these other things as the main principle at all. He will lead everything back to bhakti again. Well, is it because it's a Purana and it represents everything? It's the sum and substance of the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature has all the processes. Same with Bhagavad Gita, Karma, Jnana, Astanga Yoga, Bhakti is there. It's complete. Another reason is that it is like Krishna, and everybody can see what they want in Krishna. The demons can see something in Krishna. Kamsa saw death. The other kings saw anger in Krishna. The friends saw friendship in Krishna. His parents saw a small child in Vatsalya Rasa. So everybody saw something different in Krishna at the same time. So Bhagavatam also, different people see different things. Karma yogis will see Karma Yoga, Jnana yogis will see Jnana, Astanga yogis will see Astanga Yoga, the devotees will see bhakti. Yeah, of course, that one has to be intelligent and devotional to see the real meaning. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is like Mohini. It hides its meaning for the unqualified people, and it gives it to the devotees. Like Mohini takes the nectar from the demons and gives it to the devotees. So Bhagavatam also will hide the meaning and present so many things you can get interested in the Bhagavatam, but you won't get the real meaning. For unqualified people. Of course, the hope is by reading the Bhagavatam and hearing so much about Krishna, eventually they get some attraction for Krishna. We can glorify them as aspects of Krishna. Krishna represents everything, so they're all within Krishna in one sense.